Welcome back to a special throwback edition of the AIGA Design Podcast. I'm Lishan Huang, Director of Design Content and Learning here at AIGA, and one of the producers of this show. This episode features footage from the AIGA archives that has not been seen publicly in over two decades. You'll see a throwback clip featuring Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons and Futurama, speaking at the 2002 AIGA Design Conference, where he shares, among other things, the origin of Homer Simpson's name, explains what he gets out of going to design conferences, gives some business advice for illustrators, and reveals a funny list of things that the Fox Network wanted him to censor from his shows. But before we go back 21 years in the past, I want to tell you about later this year. The 2023 AIGA Design Conference is happening October 12th to 14th in New York City. This is an opportunity for you to reconnect in person with your design community in the Big Apple. Prepare to get inspired and re-energized while learning in community from designers at the cutting edge of today's hot topics. And now, Matt Groening.
Homer. Yes, Homer Simpson was named after my father, was also on that show that he was talking about. I happened to be at home in my hometown of Portland, staying with my parents. And I was asked to do this radio show, and they asked my father to appear on the show. He was on the upstairs extension. I was down in the basement. And it went pretty good, except that they didn't believe that my father and I could have enough to talk about, so they had a third guy on, who was a performance artist who specialized in tales of child abuse. Now, my father, I had a few problems with him. That's why I named a character after him. And but he didn't abuse me. And after that interview, he was pretty mad. So thanks, John. That was a strange experience to actually be talking about my father for the first time in public about his fictional alter ego. By the way, my father Homer was not. He never complained about The Simpsons except one time. He didn't like it. One time when The Simpsons' car broke down out in the desert, and Homer made Marge carry the flat tire back to the town. My father was very bugged by that. And I said, listen, this is a cartoon in which I draw Homer strangling his son. You've never complained about that. As I get older, I wonder about my fading memory. Certain things I completely forget about, then suddenly I remember them. And just before I came out here, I remembered a few things. I'm going to try to remember them now because I haven't written them down. One is why I came here. I was invited several months ago. I think, if I remember correctly, it was Steve Heller who suggested that I come to this, and I don't know exactly why I said yes. He said, would you like to come to this design conference? And I said, yes. And, well, I don't design conference. And then I realized my father, who was in advertising when I was a child, used to go to the Aspen Design Conference, and he'd always come back and say how inspiring it was. And that's what clicked in my head, and I didn't really figure it out until just backstage that that's why I'm here. Because he was so inspired by the design conferences that he went to. And I have to say, this is an incredibly inspiring conference. I've enjoyed it immensely. I really don't consider myself a graphic artist. I've done cartoons. I still do a weekly comic strip. And I actually consider myself pretty revolutionary. When I started doing Life in Hell as a syndicated comic strip, self-syndicated, by the way, I called it Acme Feature Syndicate because I thought that the papers would pay me more if they thought it was coming from a syndicate. With the first paper that I tried to sell the strip to said they would pay me $20. That's how much they paid for syndicated comic strips. And I said, well, how much do you pay for illustrations? They said, $150. I said, well, this is an illustration. And that's how I get illustration rates for my comic strip, and any weekly cartoonist out there, I suggest that you ask for illustration rates rather than syndicated comic strip rates. I also just realized before I gave a speech where Bart Simpson's hair really came from. When I was a kid, I told you my father was in advertising, so we got every general interest magazine in the country delivered to the house. One of them was Communication Arts Magazine, and I recall an article in there when it was talking about trademark design and the most memorable trademarks or the most memorable icons of the 20th century. This is back in the early 60s. And it had an illustration of the CBS eye, a very graphic, stark sort of silhouette of Hitler with a little square mustache, and the silhouette of Mickey Mouse. And it occurred to me at that moment that that's what makes a memorable cartoon character, is if the character can be identified in silhouette. So that's what I've tried to do with all my characters from Life in Hell through Futurama. On Life in Hell, I draw rabbits, and so when I created the son of Binky, I wanted him to look different from Binky in silhouette, and I couldn't figure out a way of doing it, because, you know, it's rabbit ears, and so I just gave him one ear. That's why he has that. Anyway, so that's not really where Bart Simpson's hair came from. I mean, that was part of the inspiration. The other part was, back when I first moved to Los Angeles in the late 70s, I used to get together with my friend Gary Panter and another guy who will go nameless for reasons which will become apparent. And we used to scheme about how we were going to sneak into the mainstream pop culture. That was our goal. And Gary went ahead and did it with his illustrations and artwork and design for the Pee Wee Herman show. I did it with The Simpsons. And the third guy, he said, "You guys are sellouts. You guys are complete sellouts. I'm going to remain true to my art, and I'm only going to do art for myself, and I'm going to wait until a gallery knocks on my door, and that's when I'm going to exhibit." Well, it hasn't happened. So I don't know what lesson we can learn there. The guy does have a very good memory, however. I was asked by TV Guide last week what was my most memorable moment in television. And I thought, well, obviously September 11th, but that was not a very fun answer. So what I said was, well, I remember an episode of the Dick Cavett talk show in 1971 when Salvador Dali came out and he dumped an anteater in Lillian Gish's lap. At least that was my memory. I called up my friend, the one who's painting paintings in, you know, in his garage by himself. I said, "Do you remember that Dick Cavett show with Salvador Dali?" He goes, "Yeah." Salvador Dali came out, he dumped the anteater in Lillian Gish's lap, and Satchel Paige looked on in amazement. And then Dick Cavett sided with the audience against Salvador Dali and went, "Booga, booga, booga," which pissed off my friend because that was a thing that he had stolen from the comedian David Steinberg. And I said, "How do you remember this?" He said, "Well, I was on mescaline that night." That's a story I've never told. Anyway, people also will say, "Where, you know, how do you still get inspired doing The Simpsons after all these years?" And I say, "Yes, I work at the Fox Network. It's very inspiring there. They give us feedback constantly, which is incredibly useful." I don't have much time left, so I just read. So I'll tell you one quote from a Fox executive: "Don't make us threaten you." Fox does actually have broadcast standards and practices. I know, with the Tonya Harding thing and the Glutton Bowl, with people eating butter for 2 hours, that you wouldn't think that Fox had any broadcasts and standards, but they do. They have a censor, and these are, I'm going to read just a few of my favorite censor notes. "Although it is only a dream, please do not show Homer holding a sign that reads, 'Kill my boy.' To discourage imitation by young and foolish viewers, when Homer begins to pour the hot wax into his mouth, please have him scream in pain so kids will understand that doing this would actually burn their mouths. After she turns off the lights, please substitute something more general, such as 'Get away from me,' or 'Stop that,' for Marge's line, 'Get off me.' Lisa may not say, 'Dad just gave George Bush the finger.' Please do not identify Continental as the airline company that none of the pilots wants to fly and that allows Homer to pilot one of their planes and then bribes to keep him quiet about his fraud. Please delete the airline executive's reference to Hawaii and Alaska as the freak states. Since it is Fox policy not to attack any holy book or the foundation of any religion, please delete Homer's complaints about the Bible being too damned expensive and too preachy. Please do not have Ned Flanders use the derogatory line, "I expect that kind of language at Denny's, but not here." Because of the potential to offend viewers, please reconsider Homer's line, "Save me Jeebus," to "Save me Jesus." It is not acceptable for Homer to say that Shelbyville threatened to put LSD in our water supply, since it is our policy to avoid such drug humor as this, and with Marge seeing melting walls and Peter Max-type color effects. Homer might, however, say they threatened to pollute the water. Please do not show Smithers sweeping burns into his arms and carrying him off a la Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston in The Bodyguard. While we understand that Bart's dialogue about Homer's barbershop quartet saying they're bigger than Jesus directly relates to the uproar over John Lennon's statement, we would like you to include some put-down of such a claim and a direct reference to the John Lennon Beatles fiasco, since many viewers may be angered by such a sacrilegious suggestion. Adding something like, "You weren't as crazy as John Lennon, were you?" or "Look what happened to the Beatles," instead of just a knowing look between Bart and Lisa, would help take the onus off of Homer's statements and his album title, Bigger Than Jesus. And it is finally, no, this is not the final one. I got one, but this is one of my favorites, though. We're concerned that the baseball announcer's reference to Fruitopia, the iced tea that was brewed by hippies but distributed by a sinister multinational corporation. And finally, please substitute a fantasy for Bart that does not involve him committing armed robbery. It will not be acceptable for him to hold a machine gun on Santa and the elves, nor a handgun on the Easter Bunny. And please delete his line, "In 5 minutes, either your eggs or your brains are going to be in this basket." We still get those notes, you know? It's amazing. They won't give up. I think I've used up all my time, haven't I? No? I don't know what else I have to tell you. Oh, I have this other show, Futurama, and thank you. And there are rumors that it's been canceled. It's kind of true, you know. We still got another year to go, and maybe Fox will change its mind about Futurama. But I do have to leave, but I want to read a couple of censor notes about Futurama. "Please use standard caution in staging the action of feeding celebrity heads in jars. The Temple of Robotology should not come across as a parody of the Church of Scientology. Please change Bender's line, 'Bite my red hot glowing ass,' to 'Bite my red hot glowing butt.' And last, the female five-eyed alien's Italian accent should not come across as a negative Italian stereotype." Thank you very much. Hold on.